Soul podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Part of our service, we're going to the Word or meditate on the Word day and night. We're told by Scripture that if we do this, we will be prosperous and successful, and we will be like trees planted by streams of water, whose leaves shall not wither, and who will bear fruit in season, and whatever we do will prosper. Now, we went through the Word in the last 3 weeks, speaking of this idea, what is God doing in the midst of fires raging in Australia last year and on to the beginning of this year? What is God doing in the midst of a volcanic eruption in the Philippines at the beginning of this year? And now a virus. And only just this week, we heard about this disastrous tornado hitting downtown Nashville, Tennessee. What is going on? Now, we all know that with all these disasters, it's not rocket science to foretell that the next thing that's going to happen is an economic downturn. And that's going to be probably the real major shaking. And so we looked at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26, where it says, at that time, the voice shook the earth, or God's voice shook the earth. But now, in other words, right now, he has promised. And we said that this is a promise, but not one that necessarily everybody wants. But the promise has a reason. Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. And he goes on to say in verse 27, the reason why he's doing that, the words once more, indicate the removing of what can be shaken. If you're being shaken and the things that you're holding on to are being shaken, it's most likely because they can be shaken. That is created things. Everything that's created is shakable, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. The whole goal of the shaking is not to make life hard for us, but to get us to the place of stability. And that is God's promise. His desire is that you and I will be stable. We went through the next last 2 weeks with the story of Joseph. We talked about how this man experienced a lot of shaking, and shaking can break you, or shaking can literally become your breakthrough. And last week, we went into the first thing that God shook out of Joseph's life. We said, which is which? Man's favor, Jacob's, his father's favor, or God's favor. You can choose. One will spoil you, and man's favor will spoil you to rely on the promises of men, or you can be stretched by God, as in the life of Joseph, to become the mature person that he was meant to be. You can be undeveloped or underdeveloped, or you can become developed and mature, as we saw in the life of Joseph. You can end up the son of Jacob, a man's favorite, and have a limited destiny, or you could end up with God's favor, with destiny fulfilled. Now, our story continues in Genesis chapter 39, verse 6. Interesting verse. It says in the first part of the verse, now Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance. The Bible is an interesting book, isn't it? It tells you about dramas like this. It talks about this handsome guy in form and appearance. And verse 7 says, after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, I want to go to bed with you. This is like watching a Korean drama. This is like watching a real show here. And you know what happens when you get promoted, as in the life of Joseph, when you get success, when you find yourself succeeding, with success comes possible potential compromises. With compromise can lead to an ungodly lifestyle, and an ungodly lifestyle will literally distance you from God. At the root of compromise, and some compromises need to happen when you're in a contract, in a business situation, but generally speaking, in the realms of the spiritual, when you compromise your morals, compromise will lead you to an ungodly lifestyle, which eventually will distance you from God. And at the root of that is the fear of man. Joseph's boss, wife, he's in between a rock and a hard place. He's in between these two people, and he can either be afraid of Potiphar or Potiphar's wife, or can have something that he has a greater fear of. Now, notice in verse 8, the story continues. He refused. Interesting. Character is being shown here. When you have a fear of man, you're going to let go of your character. But for some reason, Joseph did not. In fact, he refused to do what this woman was asking him to do. Behold, because my master has no concern about anything in this house. He acknowledges that it is that character in the first place that bought him ascendancy. He got to the place and position because he worked harder than the rest. Finally, he said, he has put everything in my charge. In fact, he's saying my success comes from this character, this ascendancy, and thus my success. When we compromise our morals, we lose character. Thus, we lose ascendancy and potentially lose success. And our success may be temporary. The Bible warns us in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man lays a snare. That word snare is literally the word a trap. It's a trap. It looks like it's like a squirrel or a beaver that sees this piece of meat on this trap, not realizing if he snatches that thing, the fear of man, you think that you're getting favors from people, but because of your fear of them, it will immobilize you. It will mobilize you to buy into their orders. When you fear someone, you're going to obey them. You're going to do what they tell you to do. It will make you a man pleaser. Now, all of a sudden, you're not pleasing God, you're pleasing men. But most of all, you will always live in fear. Because if you can fear man, you're going to fear just about everything else. I have a question for you today. Are there situations you can think of that can immobilize you because of the fear of man? I want you to take a picture of this slide right here and ask yourself, are there situations that you can think of that can immobilize you because of a fear of man? Now, our story continues in verse 9. It says, no one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. Now, here's what he's saying, okay? I know your husband is powerful, and I know you're equally powerful because you are his wife. But watch what happens in the next part of this verse. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's powerful. Joseph is saying, hey, listen, I know you're big shot. I know you're great. I know you got all of these things. And I know that your husband is powerful. But let me tell you something. There's something I fear more than you guys. I fear God. And folks, that is the remedy to the fear of man. And what God is shaking, albeit it was not Joseph's fault to do this, he was shaking the fear of man to bring in the fear of God because that was going to be essential, vital to the success of Joseph in the future. Without the fear of God, he will not have the ability to be the governor that God had called him to be. And listen to me very well, particularly you young people. Joseph was a young man at this stage. There is such a thing as the favor of man. We saw that last week, but there is such a thing as a favor of God, but there is such a thing as the fear of God. Verse 10 says, as she spoke with Joseph day after day, in other words, this woman was relentless. She wanted her bidding. She wanted her to have sex with him. He wouldn't listen to her. Character is the key. And the character comes from the acknowledgement of a greater fear. I'm not afraid of Potiphar. I'm not afraid of Potiphar's wife. I'm afraid of God. The fear of God knows that God sees anything and everything. Listen to me. This is very important right here. When you don't think that God can see you in the midst of you doing an ungodly thing or sin, that's a dangerous place. Because when you can believe that God can't see you in a bad place, you won't have the faith to believe that he can see you when you're in trouble. When you finally really need God, you're going to be in trouble. And that's important that you understand that you cannot. The fear of the Lord knows that you see, that God sees you wherever you are. Verse 11 says, but one day, when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was there in the house, this story unfolds, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled out of the house. And basically, he ran away. And this is a very interesting part of this story where it says that he ran away. Sometimes the only way out of a bad situation is to run. Sometimes it's not staying there and being spiritually strong. The only way out, regardless of your character, Joseph had the common sense to know it's time to be prudent and run away. I have a second question for you today. Can you think of instances when your only way out is to run, even if you could be judged wrongly? You know, he didn't do anything wrong. In fact, if he left, the possibility is everybody's going to judge him wrongly and say, okay, he actually probably is guilty. That's why he left. But can you have enough fear of the Lord that you would be willing to run away and actually be wrongly judged? But because you believe that the only way to do this is to stay away from this potential trouble. That's a question that we need to answer. Genesis chapter 39, verse 16. She laid up his garment by her until his master came home. Basically, that's the ESV's version of she took the garment and laid it beside her, setting up the kill, basically. In verse 17, she told him the same story. She basically told this to the whole household, to all the assistants, conjuring this fake news and saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came in to laugh at me, came in to me and to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house. She was lying through her teeth. As soon as his master heard the words that the wife spoke to him, this is the way your servant treated me, his anger was kindled. And then this is where, folks, listen, this is a shaking here. Imagine being shaken as a slave and brought to a foreign land and not seeing the favor of your father and seeing the favor of God. And now you're at the, not the pinnacle yet, but a certain level of success. And in the midst of that success, you are now enjoying this time of favor from God. And all of a sudden, you lose that favor by being framed by somebody. Somebody's now framing you. Somebody's now setting you up to take a fall for a lie that somebody else has conjured against you. That is not easy. And that's another shaking. So when you think about the life of Joseph, you find multiple shakings in the man's life. Now, verse 20, his master took him and put him in prison. Now, you know the rest of the story. For those of you who know Joseph's story, this is another setup from God. Shaken from being his father's favorite to experiencing the favor of God. Shaken from learning how to overcome the fear of man to experience the fear of God. Now, notice what happens in verse 20. The place where the king's prisoners were confined. And that was the prison he was put in. In other words, he's literally now one more layer below his destiny. And I want you to listen very well to me. Some of you guys that are going to shaking, you may be a business owner, and you're about to make decisions, harsh decisions. You probably want to think very hard that in all likelihood, trying to protect yourself at this time might miss you your destiny. You might be an employee, whatever it is you're going through. The obvious answer to some of this shaking is not that obvious. The obvious answer is, God, I will do what you want me to do. I will do the right thing. And here's the reason why God is shaking this. This is very important. Listen very well to what I'm about to say here. Why does God want to shake the fear of man or the fear of situations? Because fear of man will lead to a trap, greater fears in your life. And why does he want you to have, why does he want to do that? I don't know about you. There's a lot of verses on the favor of God and on grace. There's a whole lot more on the fear of God. And sometimes people are so adept at knowing the favor of God, but very few know the fear of God. Let me give you three verses that explain why this is critical in Joseph's life. The first one is found in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You cannot be the governor of a great nation without wisdom. That's not happening. You're not going to fulfill your destiny as a husband, as a father, as a wife without destiny. And the ticket to wisdom, God's wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. You cannot govern a nation if you don't have the knowledge of insight from the Holy One. It's not going to happen. You don't have the abilities. You don't have the capability to do that because you did not allow God to shake the fear of man and replace it with the fear of God. The fear of the Lord. Too many people are holding on to the favor of God. That's great. The favor of God's great. But you know, there's a greater thing. There's another side to this where you have the fear of God. That's where you get wisdom. You don't get wisdom from the favor of God. You get wisdom from the fear of God. Number two is, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. Very few people will get the instruction and the guidance of God and the pacing of God and the timing of God. And the key to that, it says, is the fear of the Lord. When we fear God, what happens is we slow ourselves down. We start weighing things and choosing our decisions very carefully. And hence, prudence and wisdom and the right choices come to us because of that fear of the Lord. Now, further in the third verse I want to show you, probably the most powerful verse I want to show you is this. It says, he will be a sure foundation for your times. Notice where it says this. He will be a sure foundation for your times. And it says the way that foundation works is you'll have a rich store of salvation. You're going to have wisdom and knowledge. And the key to that is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And what is this treasure? Sure foundation. The very promise of why God shakes us, stability. The more stable we become, the more we have the fear of God, the more stable we become, and the more solid the foundations we stand on become. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked to you about the X-1, the plane that Chuck Yeager used to break through into the sound barrier. And when you look at the plane, a plane has two wings. How many of you know? You know this. This is obvious, right? Planes cannot fly unless they have two wings. If you're trying to fly a plane with one wing, it probably won't happen, and you probably won't get to where you're going. You might not even take off spiritually. In the words of God, in the spiritual, that's the favor of God, is one wing. It's called grace. But the other wing is called the fear of God. That's called reverence. Grace is when you enter the presence of God knowing that you're welcome because of what Jesus did for you. Grace is coming into the presence of God because you know He's your Father and that He will bless you, that He will accept you despite the sins you've committed, that you've washed away that. But grace is walking into the same throne room knowing He is the King, knowing that He is God, knowing that He sees anything and everything about you. It's the stability that God talks about. It's not a rigid form of stability. It's a flexible, stable, that knows when the devil comes at you and says, you are not going to make it, then you lean on the grace of God. And when things just start getting good and you're starting to become popular and successful, then you got to have a little bit of the fear of God. Because that's how you become stable in this world. The more you understand this tension, and why God shakes the favor of man from you, so you can learn the stability of the grace of God. But that's not enough. The reason why He shakes the fear of man from you is so you can learn the fear of God, so that in any and every situation that you face, you will be stable to reach the destiny that He has for you. Here's what the Bible says. It says, it is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. And sometimes you go on an extreme. Fear God, for you don't understand the grace of God. Grace of God, no, you need both. It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. That's wisdom right there. It is good to grasp one and not let go of the other. Now, as I try to land this message, let me ask you one last question. How can you live life in the grace of God while holding on to the fear of God? I want you to think about that for a bit. How can you live a life? This is a constant struggle for me, at least. I know that God loves me, God cares about me, God saved me, God blessed me, and God does, and God still continuing to do it. I'm looking for my 63rd birthday in a few months, and I'm excited. And I've seen the grace of God, but I've always held on to the fear of God. And that's the one that's been so powerful in removing the fear of man, the fear of just about everything else, because I know that if I can fear God who loves me, then there's nothing to fear.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.